morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. This week, I told you we'd be talking about the temple. The reason I'm talking about the temple is because I believe that the Bible, one of the things that shows us that it's true and we can trust it, is this incredible unity from beginning to end. You have 40 authors writing in three different languages, writing in three different continents over a span of some 1,500 years, and they present this incredible unity and message about Christ, about the gospel, about who God is, about what God wants from us, about how we can find joy in God. And so I think that's one of the great arguments for the Bible. But undermining that argument is this idea that is so popular in Christian circles that the Old Testament and the New Testament are radically different things, that salvation was one way in the Old Testament, a different way in the New Testament, that the laws were one set of laws in the Old Testament, a new set of laws in the New Testament. And everything about the Old Testament, well, we don't need to worry about that. Now we have the New Testament. And I think at the center of that is the temple. And so I want to address some things that come up that I think are misunderstandings about the temple that cause us to unnecessarily separate Old Testament and New Testament, and even to view God as somehow dramatically changing from one page in Malachi to the next page in Matthew, going from Old Testament to New Testament. I don't think that's the case at all. So one of the things I would say, and I think this is startling to a lot of Christians, is the temple is not done away with. The temple has not fulfilled its purpose. True, there is no temple today, and therefore we cannot do the sacrifices, we cannot do temple worship, we can't follow the regulations around the temple, but that doesn't mean that the temple is forever gone and done away with and has no more relevance. I believe there will be a third temple. The Jewish people pray fervently every day for the third temple to be built and functioning again. I think sometimes Christians look forward to the third temple because we know the Bible and Daniel chapter 9 says that this is one of the things that must take place just before Jesus returns. And so the rebuilding of the third temple would be a sign that, oh, maybe this means Jesus is really about to come, I mean, within the next couple years. But I think it goes beyond that. I think there is still a role for the temple to play. And I'm going to share with you some passages about this. Let me first start off just kind of to reason with you. If it's true that in the Old Testament, sins were forgiven by sacrificing animals, but in the New Testament, sin is forgiven by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and so we no longer need to sacrifice animals, if that is the case, then why did Jesus come to die? I would suggest to you that if that were the case, I don't think it is, but if that were the case, then Jesus came to die to save lambs, goats, and bulls. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, if you could have your sins forgiven by bringing a lamb to the temple and having it sacrificed, or a bull, or if you could, in some cases, you bring birds if you're not wealthy enough to afford larger animals, if you could have your sins forgiven by bringing animal sacrifices to the temple, then what did Jesus change really by coming and dying on the cross? All that Jesus changed is that now we don't have to bring animals to the temple. Now we believe in Jesus and our sins are forgiven through Jesus instead of having to kill goats, lambs, and bulls. And so what Jesus did was not to make our salvation more secure or to bring us salvation or forgiveness of sins. We already could have that. What Jesus came to do was to save the lives of goats, lambs, and bulls because now we don't have to sacrifice them anymore. All right, now I don't think that's the case at all. I don't think the New Testament teaches that. I'm just saying that if that's what Jesus' death on the cross accomplished, we move from animal sacrifices to Jesus' sacrifice, then Jesus didn't really come to save people. He came to save animals. And this is why I think that will help many of you to see that, you know, something else is going on with the temple sacrifices. In fact, Hebrews tells us in the New Testament that the blood of bulls and goats never took away sin. So there's something else going on with these animal sacrifices. And I think that there is a continuing relevance for those things. That's where I'm going to go with this. All right. So one of the verses that is often used to say the temple is done away with is Hebrews 8, verse 13. So I want to briefly address that at least. Hebrews 8, verse 13 says, by calling this covenant new, meaning the new covenant, remember Jesus does say this blood or this cup is my blood in the new covenant poured out for you. So Jesus talks about the new covenant. He's quoting from Jeremiah, an Old Testament book that introduces the new covenant. By calling this covenant new, in other words, in the Old Testament prophets, this coming covenant that would be a new covenant, by calling it new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. Now, I want to take issue with the word obsolete here. A lot of people will say, see, the old covenant, the Old Testament, it's obsolete. It has no relevance for us today. That includes the temple. First, the context here is the temple. Chapter 9 goes on to talk about the temple. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. So he's going to talk about the temple sacrifices. And so he's talking not about everything, not talking about the old covenant laws. He's talking about the old covenant tabernacle temple practices. And so he says it's obsolete. Well, the word there in Greek could be translated old or older, or it could be translated obsolete. And old is a better translation because we're contrasting it with new. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one old, I would say. Not obsolete, but old. And what is old and outdated will soon disappear. Notice that the author of Hebrews doesn't say it has disappeared. No, there's still an enduring purpose and use for the temple. One day it will disappear, but it has not yet. And therefore, I think obsolete, for that reason also, is not a good translation. It's old, it's fading away, it's out of date, but it hasn't been done away with. That's what Hebrews 8, verse 13 is saying. So when is the time when it is done away with? Well, Jesus said that the law would endure until heaven and earth disappear. And the book of Revelation bears this out. Revelation talks about the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ in Revelation chapter 20. And then it talks about a final rebellion and then a new heaven and new earth come. That's in Revelation 21. That kind of language is how the Jewish people would see the temple. By the time you have the new heaven and new earth, the entire new earth is like the temple, and you no longer need the temple in Jerusalem. But until then, you need it, or it has a continuing purpose, maybe a diminished one, maybe not as important or central as in Old Testament times. Jesus' sacrifice is much greater than the sacrifice done by the priests, by the sacrifice of lambs and bulls and goats. I'm going to talk about how Jesus' sacrifice was greater, but this is the whole point of Hebrews chapter 9. We have a better sacrifice. That doesn't mean there isn't still some enduring purpose or role for the earthly temple. And that means that what happens at the earthly temple is not the forgiveness of sins. That's what Hebrews tells us. It has to do with something else. I'll get into that next time. But today, let me just read one more passage. This is from Jeremiah chapter 33. And Jeremiah 33:15 says, in those days, at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In what days? The days of the Messiah, when the kingdom of God comes. This is what Jesus was preaching when he came. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, or is near. So in those days, David, he's going to have a new descendant spring forth that will be king. And then Jeremiah goes on to say, nor will the Levitical priests ever fail to have a man stand before me continually to offer burnt offerings. I think that has huge implications for what we think about when we think of the temple, and I'll pick up there tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.